The children's kind of. Abe's going to have his hands full this morning. I love it. The scripture we're going to read in a second, you can go ahead and start looking it up, is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Guys, before we read scripture and I have you stand to honor God's word to read scripture, I want to talk to you for a couple minutes. You know, this week was Valentine's Day, and it's a week that we, really try to show love for our significant other, our spouse, and it's a day that you try to show them love and you go out and buy them something usually, or you send them a card, maybe you get something for your kids. And Americans take this to an extreme. We spend about $18.2 billion a year on Valentine's Day. And it's a way, like I said, that we want to try to show our spouse that we really love them. We take them out to dinner usually, or we buy them flowers, or, you know, give them cards. And that this week, you know, it was really overshadowed, I think, a lot by, again, what happened this week in our country in Florida, where 17 innocent kids go off to school and they think that they're going for a day of learning and they don't come home to their parents. And I've been thinking about this all week, just about what kind of world we're living in right now, that we have to worry about sending our kids to school. You know, I've been out of high school a long while now, about 20 years, and this is just something that we didn't have to worry about 20 years ago. It isn't something that my dad had to worry about. So what's changed? What's changed in our society, in our culture? What can we do about it? You know, and it made my mind run into other things about just what kind of world we're living in, where school shootings happen, where millions of innocent babies are aborted every year, murdered in the name of convenience. And it seems like everywhere we look, there's just tragedy everywhere. So how can we change this? How can we as the church change this? How is we as a society? What can we start to do? And these are some of the things that you hear brought out. You know, should we ban all guns? Should we just ban guns so people can't do it? Should we ban knives? You know, get rid of knives where they can't. Should we ban trucks? You know, in France, just a year ago in France, somebody took a big truck and killed 86 people with a big truck, injured another 450. Should we ban those? Or is this a problem that runs much deeper to the core of who we are as people here today, as Christians? And the more I think of this whole week, I think, this is a heart problem. It's a problem that happens in our country of how we're raising our kids, of what we're teaching our kids is okay and what's not okay. And so I started asking myself again, am I loving my family? Am I teaching my kids scripturally what the Bible says? Am I, as the father in my household, doing right by my kids? And I want to know what scripture says. How do we handle this? I have a responsibility as the leader of my household to love my kids. I have a responsibility to love my wife, to teach my family right from wrong. See, it starts, this whole thing, we need to stop blaming somebody else, and we need to take a look at the mirror and say, what can I do? The problem starts with me. And if I would just take care of the problem in my house, and everybody took care of the problem in their own house, and maybe even tried to reach out and help your fellow brother take care of the problem in his house, we wouldn't have what's going on right now. And instead, we always just want to blame somebody else. That's why I said that on March 11th, Jim and Tammy are going to be coming and talking about that Sunday evening on foster parenting and adoption. This is something that the local church can do to help broken kids in our community. Kids that don't have fathers, Because if you look on a background of any of this stuff that's happened, and I'm not trying to ramble without scripture. I hope you understand, my visitors this morning. We're going to read a whole bunch of scripture today. But I want to set the setting here. It starts with me. What can I do? It starts with me looking in the mirror and taking responsibility. Not blaming the government. Not blaming the NRA. Blaming myself. By asking myself some questions. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing at home? Am I raising my kids the way that my parents raised me? And if I can ask those questions today, and I want to tell you, this is going to be a tough sermon. We're going to ask ourselves some questions this morning. And if I'm not answering them the right way, I need to do something. I'm part of the problem then. I'm not part of the solution yet. So it starts with me and my household. Am I loving my family and my wife the way Scripture says? If not, then I am part of the problem. Because these kids are coming from broken homes with no parents, or parents that are there, but parents that have checked out and are not parenting. So what does Scripture say? Let's get to it. Ephesians 5, 22 through 26. Stand with me in honor of God's word this morning as we read it. Ephesians 5. 22 through 26 says this: Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That he might sanctify her, being cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for Scripture, that your word, Father, is alive and active. Lord, I ask this morning that your Holy Spirit will cut us this morning right here, that we will stop blaming political parties, the left or the right, that we will look at the mirror, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convict us this morning. Lord, that will encourage us this morning to follow you in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to break down the scripture. That's what we're going to do this morning. Here's the solution for broken homes. It's right here. It's right here. What does it say? Let's start off the first verse in 22. What does it say? Wives, submit. Wives, submit to your husband. Now, ladies, here's the thing. We're going to start off with the ladies this morning, but trust me, fellas, you're not going to get left out. All right? This goes against everything that the world tells you to do, ladies. This goes against everything. There are so many feminist groups out there that say, no, you do what you want to do. You don't submit to your husband. You're your own person. You do what you want to do. You live how you want to live. And ladies completely check out of this. And that goes completely against what Scripture says. What does it say? That the husband is the head. His decision is final. God has placed them there. That's not up for debate for me and you. If I don't like that, I'm sorry. Men, if you don't like having that responsibility, I'm sorry. God still gave it to you. Ladies, if you don't like having to do that with your husband, you don't want to submit to that, I'm sorry. That's the way God has it in Scripture. That's the way it is. The easier it's going to be for us is when we start submitting to God's word. And we just do what it says and nothing else. And it starts there. It starts there. Now notice in verse 43, Paul says this is the same submission as the church does for Christ. Let me say that there is no greater amount of submission that I can talk about today than what we should have for Christ as the church. That's the ultimate. Christ should mean everything to us. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, it should mean everything. There's no greater authority, Christians, in our lives than Christ. So ladies, that's the type of submission that he relates it to. That's the type of submission. Complete, absolute. Now, let me say, ladies, your time's done now. Now the rest of this is going to be on the fellas. All right? Now so far, the ladies are saying, man, this is not good. And the guys are saying, preach it. We can do this for an hour, right? But quickly it translates into verse 25, where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Uh-oh. Man, that's ultimate love. That is ultimate sacrificial love. That Christ gave up everything for us. That is the kind of love that we're supposed to have, fellas. So what does Scripture say about the kind of love that Christ gave for us? Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Write these down. Please write these down. Go home and read them again. Pray about them. Write these down. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. And I'm going to read you the King James Version. I like the way it read today, but this is the King James Version. It says, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, what does all that mean? That's the kind of submission that Christ had for the church. That's what he did for the church. And if they tell us we should have the same kind of submission and love for our wives, that that's the kind of love that Christ had for the church, what does that mean? That means that I should be loving my wife just like Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says. So what does it say? Men were to humble ourselves, making ourselves of no reputation for our wives. What does that mean? What does no reputation mean? Basically, to sum that up, it means that sometimes, guys, we worry more about being right and being the top dog than taking the form of a servant like Christ did. That we worry more about getting in the last word and making sure that we're right than just taking on the form of a servant. You know how Christ took on the form of a servant with his disciples? He did the most, his act was would have been looked at as completely disgusting in the Middle East. He washed their feet. And if you know anything about the culture, your feet were considered very, very nasty in the Middle East. And Jesus said, that's how much of a servant I'm going to be. That's the kind of no reputation service that we're not worried about ourselves. We're not worried about being the top dog. That's the kind of service. Being a servant. Do we serve our wives? Examples. Do we wash their feet? Now, maybe not literally. I don't know if you want to literally, right? But do we serve them? Do we serve them? Or am I kicked back, reclined, making my family wait on me? Because that's what leadership is. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, when we lay out, they'd lay out a big chow line, right? You know, and you'd think that the officers would go through and eat first. You know what they did? They served the food. And the privates would come through and eat first. And then the lance corporals, then the corporals, then the sergeants. And if we ate all the food and the officers, they didn't get any food. That's an example of being a servant. That's the kind of servants that we're supposed to be for our families, guys. Men, that's the kind of examples of being servants. Humbling ourselves. There's times, men, in our families when our wives need to see that we are wrong. That we say we're wrong. Now, I know that's a pride issue. This is something I struggle with. Who likes to admit they're wrong? Nobody, right? Our families need to see our humbleness. That when we mess up, and we're human and I mess up, ask my wife if she was preaching this morning, boy, I'd already be hammered down, right? Yeah, she's shaking her head, right? I need to be able to humble myself. You need to be able to humble yourself and tell your family and your kids when you're wrong. Now, the last one here in this verse, it says in verse 8 that he became obedient unto death. So Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. So what does God's word say about my role in being obedient to his will as a father and a husband? I want to be obedient to God's word as being a husband and a father. What does that say then? What does that say? Well, the first thing it says is that I better take care of my family's physical needs. I better take care of my family's physical needs. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says this, But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let me say this again. Let me say this in Jeff's words here, right? If today you don't provide for your family's basic needs, you don't feed them, you don't clothe them, you rely on somebody else to feed them and clothe them, Scripture says you are worse than an unbeliever. Now let's talk about reality. In our country right now, 1 in 5 Americans are on government assistance. Now let me say today, a lot of those need government assistance. They need help. And there's a lot that just don't want to provide for their families. So you can't claim the title of Christian and follower of Christ if you are not willing to provide for your families. It's your responsibility. It's not mine. Now, am I willing to help you if you need? Yes, I'm willing to help you if you need help. It says I should help you as my brother in Christ, and I'm willing to help you. Listen, but if you're not willing to help yourself, Scripture says you're worse than an unbeliever if you're not taking care of your families. It's your responsibility. When I taught youth, listen, when I would teach youth, I would tell the kids, this is the sexual education I would give the kids. Don't, because you can't afford to take care of your kid. And I've got 4 of my own to take care of. I don't need any more to take care of. And I was honest and I tell them that. And there's people in our country, they need to heed that. They need to heed that. Take care of them. Take care of their physical needs. Provide for them. You want to be a leader in your house, men? Take care of your families. You see, that seems so basic and so simple. But yet in our society, there's kids that don't have fathers, that don't have anything. And their dad may be in the home, but they've checked out. They're more worried about drugs or alcohol than they are making sure their kids fed at night. Don't claim the title of Christian and do that. Don't. It's not scriptural. That's the first one. Now, everyone in here hopefully is probably saying, yeah, I provide for my kids. All right. Now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. And that's their spiritual needs. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. It's my responsibility as a husband, as a father, to take care of my family's spiritual needs. I can't pass that buck on. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21 says this, 18 through 21. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that my faith, my belief in Christ, better be written across my forehead. You know, you get a tattoo on your forehead, everybody's going to see it, right? Faith better be tattooed across my forehead. My beliefs in Christ better be talked about in my house. They better be talked about when I'm in my car driving somewhere. They better be written on the doorpost. I better be talking about Christ. If I'm not, how am I meeting their basic needs? You notice here, these are action words. These are action words. That means we have to do something. He's saying, do these things. I better teach my kids Scripture. I better talk about God's Word. I better explain God's Word. I better have God's Word written all over my home in every area. And if I'm not, I'm neglecting my duty. I'm neglecting my duty if I don't. Do I do that? Do my kids know? Not based upon whether you came to Crossbridge this morning. Throw that out the window. Listen, Tristan can have 2 hours a week with your kids. And he can teach them all that he can do his best. I know he does to teach your kids about Christ. But if you don't live that out through the week, throw it away. It doesn't mean anything. If you think coming in on Sunday morning is living out your faith with your kids, look in the mirror. Change that, because it's not. Teaching your kids scripture, explaining it, reading it to them, that's meeting spiritual needs. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? Because you have to understand this morning, fellas, that you're going to give an account one day. You are held accountable for how you raise your kids. You are held accountable for what you teach them. You are held accountable whether you provide for them or not. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. This verse is about leaders in the church. Who's the leader in your home, men? You are. This verse applies to you. Hebrews 13, 17 says this. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Do we not understand that we're going to stand before God and give an account for what we teach our kids? How horrible would it be to stand before God and know that you've never taught your kid a thing about Christianity? That your kid is lost because you failed to teach them. Listen to me, I have immediate family, nothing in my home, immediate family that serve in leadership of churches, that have grandkids that don't know Christ, and they don't teach them. They don't talk to them. How horrible is that? How horrible. You know why? You know, listen, this all ties into what's happened this week. It all ties in because there's a failure in the home for men to lead their families. We will give an account before God. Do we teach them about Jesus or about Satan? Do our kids know how to play basketball but can't say the books of the Bible in order? There's a problem with that. If that's the case, there's a problem with that. Now, it's not only teaching them the good things. We should teach them what to do right and scripture. But I can't give approval for bad behavior. I can't say that things are okay. If my child goes and lives a sinful life, I can't condone it. Paul says in Corinthians, turn to Corinthians chapter 5. The church can't condone it. You as a leader of your household can't condone it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. You want another big problem in our churches right now all across our country? When we say that sin's okay. When we have people that claim to be Christians and would say that abortion's okay. I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom that this morning. How we as Christians could say that abortion would be okay. Or that sexual sin is okay. Scripture doesn't teach that, so why as a Christian, how could I ever teach that? 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 7 says this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and my spirit in present, with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. You know what's that mean? What does that mean? That boastfulness means, you know what he's talking to? He's talking to Christian churches. He's talking to leaders of Christian churches who are okay with sin. Who say, it's okay. We're a welcoming church. Everybody is accepted. No, listen. The door to attend this church is as wide as possible. I want everybody to come here, right? But when they come here, I want God's word to penetrate their life and for their life to change. And when they become into fellowship and membership here, that door gets smaller, right? Because we conform to God and his word, not the other way around. Instead, we want to say, oh, let's just be accepting of everything, and it's okay. And that's exactly what the church was doing. They were saying that sin was okay. I know of situations right now in Marshfield, Missouri, where there's high school age boys that are professing that they're homosexuals, and there's supposedly Christian churches that are okay with that, right? I can't be okay with that. I can't tolerate sin in my household. Do you understand? I have to make sure that my family understands right from wrong. That it's not okay to take a gun and point it at somebody else. It's not okay to bully somebody at school. It's not okay to live with your girlfriend before you're married or your boyfriend. Those are things that, as Christians, I better be teaching my family right from wrong. And it's failing in our country all over. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Fellas, what should happen with our families? Ephesians chapter 5, go back to verse 26. What does it say? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctify is the key word here. I want to make sure we understand this. What is justification? Justification is the action of being declared righteous in the sight of God. How are we justified before God? Faith alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. We can't earn salvation, right? But now what is sanctification? What he's talking about here. That's a process of becoming holy. That's a process of growing closer to Christ, of learning his word. So my question, guys, fellas, my question is, my family, is my wife, are they growing in their faith based on my leadership? Based on my leadership. My family should be growing in their faith based on my leadership. If they're not, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. If they're not, I'm wrong. Christian men should not tolerate sin in our families, and our wives should be being sanctified by our example. So are we doing that? Are we doing that? So now you're saying, man, this has been tough. I know it's been tough. It's been tough on me this week. Trust me. How do we do that? How do we do that? Let's get practical. How do we do that? Verse 26, what does it say? Again, by washing of water, by the word. The word, the word, the word. Teach the word. Talk about God's word. Read the word. God's word is what makes the change. We can't expect our wives, our kids, to learn about Jesus unless we read them God's word. We have to teach them God's word. We have to teach them God's word. You see, that's the fundamental breakdown in our country right now. As people have no clue about who God is, they aren't being taught the word. And if we aren't doing it in the church, how do we expect to reach anybody out there? You see, once again, it starts by me looking at myself in the mirror as a leader in my home and saying, am I doing this? Am I doing this? And if I'm not, what do I need to do about it? I need to repent of that. I need to get down on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me for the time that I've wasted. I'm not wasting another minute. I'm going to teach my kids right from wrong. I'm going to teach my kids to love their fellow brother. I'm going to teach my kids to pray for their enemies, to love those who persecute them. I'm going to teach my kids those things. Am I doing that? Ladies, verse 33. If you go down to 33 in Ephesians, it says, wives, submit to your husbands, respect them. Are you doing that? It doesn't say whether they deserve it or not. Are you doing that? Men, are you leading your wives? Are you taking care of your kids? Are you supporting their physical needs? Is your family growing in their faith based on your leadership? Last verse this morning is this, Romans 14, 11 and 12. Romans 14, 11 and 12 says this, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give an account. I don't want to stand before God one day and have to explain to him why I didn't lead my family. I don't want to stand before God one day and have to answer why my kids never heard about his name. Why? My family's lost because because I didn't teach them. I don't want to have to do that. And everybody is going to give an account. Hey, listen here. I know this has been tough. I know it's been tough. If this word today, if God's word has cut you and it's been deep, do something about it. Do something about it. Change the way you're doing things in your household. You don't want to know why shootings happen? It's because it's an evil, sinful world. And people don't know Christ. I can't always change everybody out there. You know what I can affect? People that are in my house that I'm responsible for. That I'm responsible for. That's who I can affect. I can make the change there. So we got to start there. We have to start there. If you're not doing that, do something about it today. Repent of that. Get up here on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to do things differently from here on out. I'm getting rid of the violent video games. I'm getting rid of all the nasty movies. I'm getting rid of it. And I want to submit to you. And that's it. And you. And that's it. And nothing else. So in closing, as we close, we're going to have an invitation. Ladies, I want to ask you, are you submitting to your husbands? Are you respecting them? That's how you show them love. That's your responsibility in your household. Support your husband. You're a helper of your husband. You're a helper. Men, am I taking care of my wife's needs? Do I provide for her? Am I leading my family spiritually? Are they growing in their faith because of me? If not, do something about it. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to have an invitation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. It has been very, very challenging this week. Lord, I ask a special prayer this morning also for everyone in Florida who's dealing with these horrible events. Lord, I know that only the change can be made and happen through you and your word. Lord, I want to be responsible for who I'm responsible for. I want to lead my family to follow you and nothing else. Lord, I ask this morning, if there's people here that need to change that, they be convicted of that. Father, that your Holy Spirit will convict them to do things differently. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come this morning, you come.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I'm a believer.
back on. I'm sorry, it's kind of a long service today. I'm going to ask you to please be seated. We have a baby dedication we want to do this morning. So I'm going to ask Shay and Kate to bring Hannah and Eden forward this morning. This is a good part of doing ministry right here. This is a good part. You want to sing again, don't you? We like singing, don't we? Yeah, all right. We're going to read some scripture this morning. I want to read scripture out of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. This is really a parallel scripture to one we just read in chapter 11, but I want to read this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." So I have a charge for you guys, and then I'm going to have a charge for you all real quick. Shay and Kate, by coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourself, Hannah, and Eden to the Lord? Right. "Having come freely, I ask you now to enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his people, so that Hannah and Eden may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you, Shay and Kate, vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide Hannah and Eden a Christian home of love, peace, to raise them in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage them to one day trust Christ as their Savior and Lord?" Okay. Modeling this kind of love, church, cannot be done alone. It does require the help of all of us. Do you all have any family that are here today?
No.
Okay, so we as brothers and sisters in Christ are church family. I'm going to ask our brothers and sisters of Christ here to please stand, the church family. So here's the charge to you all. "So that Hannah and Eden may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you vow by God's help to encourage through praise and correction Shay and Kate in their effort to raise Hannah and Eden to fear the Lord, to uphold them in prayer, and if anything should happen to Shay or Kate, to assume responsibility in helping them receive our Lord's guidance and instruction?"
Yes.
Right. All right, I'm going to ask a special prayer for them. I also want the boys and Corey and Trishelle to come up for the baptism, and I want you to come around and congratulate them. You guys got all slicked up, didn't you? All right, proud of you. All right, go down there next to your mom and dad. We want good family. This is family day, right? I want to pray for them. Our benediction today, I would like to read our benediction, and then we'll close in prayer today. The benediction is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Says this, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for our time that we could gather here today to worship you. Father, your word was challenging today, so I ask that we will pray about your word today and that we'll leave here with us. Father, I ask a special prayer for Corey and Trishelle and their boys as they have been faithful and obedient in baptism, that, Father, our church and their family will raise them to follow you in every way, Lord. So bless them as they go out into this world that is just filled with evil and sin. Watch over and protect them. Father, thank you for Kate and Shay coming this morning with their kiddos, Lord, and making these commitments before you and their people. Just be with them as they raise them. Father, let us help them in any way that we can as we want to raise those kids to follow you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Please walk around and welcome them this morning. Remember, business meeting in about 15 minutes.